You may think you know what a portal is, but it's far more mysterious and Illuminate confirmed than you ever thought. I've been podcasting about the occult since 2014, and today I'm taking you through the hidden meaning of portals. Today we start a deep dive into the paranormal symbolism of portals. Now this is going to be broken up into two parts. In part one, today, on this episode, we're going to define the term and we're going to discuss the ideas of portals as literal gateways. We're going to talk about the metaphysical concept of crossing certain thresholds, how portals represent transitions between different worlds, or unlocking the enlightenment through magic rituals of triangles of manifestation, magical circles, and so on. We're going to talk about Carl Jung and the symbolism of the portal as a gateway into the subconscious or the shadow realm. And we'll get into the tools used for accessing other realms, scrying stones, the bathtubs. And then finally, we're going to run through a ton of pop culture portals that you've seen in your favorite films, from Alice in Wonderland to 2001 A Space Odyssey or the beloved Twin Peaks. It's all here today on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Now, I need you to stay subscribed to the show. If you're not subscribed, I don't know what you're doing. Subscribe right now. Because when we come back for part two, we're going to talk about literal portals. We're going to talk about what they are, how they were constructed, who's been messing around with these things. And I'll provide some examples from Jack Parsons to Britney Spears and Brittany Murphy and Travis Scott. And we're going to talk about some of the modern concepts of a portal when it comes to aliens and artificial intelligence. And we're going to tie it into all the research that we've been doing. We've been talking about the Dark Enlightenment, the CCRU, which I'm still working on the book, the CCRU writings from 1997 to 2003. A lot of mysteries to unpack here. Boy, oh boy, I can't wait to share my findings with you. But that'll be in part two. And in fact, last night I just finished the new season of Ghost Adventures. Has an episode where they are doing a ghost hunt in the house where they filmed Poltergeist. You could say they accessed a portal, right? Because when they filmed Poltergeist, they dug the backyard for a pool, and it was a Native American burial ground, and all these evil spirits come through, and all the people died. So many tragedies involved with Poltergeist. But anyhow, let's start with part one today. Definition, and this was surprisingly, I put up polls on Patreon all the time. And I'm always asking you guys questions about where you want the show to go, what topics you like, blah, 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 blah. And a couple months ago, I floated the idea of talking about portals, and it was very well received. And it took me a while to get through it, but here we are today, talking about the portals. So I thought if we could define this first, we could work our way through the literal definition to the metaphysical, because it's actually a pretty massive topic. We've got literal portals and thresholds. We're talking about doorways or gates or entrances. Sometimes you see this as caves in films or bridges or mirrors like in Alice in Wonderland or tunnels or mountains or tunnels through mountains. A water area like in Dark City, it's surrounded by water. You know, there's a threshold there. It's in the realm of the term veil, when we talk about piercing the veil. It's the idea of crossing over into another world. Interdimensionally, maybe. Doesn't really matter. Whether it's a literal physical space or a metaphysical space. And then you also have, in terms of like the literal aspect, you've got the technologically, spiritually, what do you call it? The singularity, the technological singularity. That is a portal, basically, where mankind steps through and becomes one with artificial intelligence, becomes the transhuman. All right? And there's always this big to-do about when that will happen. Ray Kurzweil says 2045. I don't know what the latest prediction is. I don't know if you talk to the AI, the ChatGPT, but it seems pretty sentient. And from there, you got a lot of more questions, right? Of the sentience of the AI. Who determines that? You know, and you could talk about this in terms of religion. It's like if a religious person says, well, I know who God is. Well, people from other religions would say, that's not God. You're worshiping a false God. And who's to say the difference? Who knows? It's all subjective. It's in the mind. Reality is created in the mind. All right. And this is a concept that is discussed in the novel 1984, which, just so you know, we're working on a 1984 book club on the show. More details coming. That's my next project. We're going to unpack the whole book. But they talk about the idea of reality being created subjectively and in the mind. All right. When it comes to portals, you also have the metaphysical types. These are the more intriguing areas. These are entering liminal spaces. A liminal space is kind of like the term back rooms that you see online. It's a transitional state between two worlds. You can see this in Twin Peaks, in the Red Room. And if you don't like Twin Peaks, which I know some of you don't, the Mormon Church, they have a, apparently, I've never been through it, but in the endowment ceremony that a recent guest, Ryan Springer, was talking about, we talked about how there is, what do you call it, the celestial room, which I would refer to as a liminal space. It's supposed to feel like you're kind of in the heavens, but you're not. You're really anchored to the earth, that kind of thing. Now, these portals can take you to another space or time, like in a wormhole. And the metaphysical types are more abstract. It seems like you're accessing a different reality in some ways, and you'll see this referred to in psychedelics and hallucinogens. You see this in terms of the paths of occult practice for Apollonian or Dionysian rituals. The whole idea is to abstain or overload the human consciousness in order for it to yoke up to and link up to the divine of God. It's not a portal, but it's the same idea, right? It's the same idea of escaping from this three-dimensional reality and entering into a new one. That's why a lot of people do psychedelics. You'll hear about people who do DMT, that Joe Rogan DMT, and they'll talk about entering this new realm with fractals and geometric shapes and talking to elves, and a voice tells them, welcome to the real world, or whatever it happens. And you see this with the shamans and the ayahuasca journeys. You see this with transcendental meditation processes where the practitioner will enter into this meditative flow state, and they go inwards and they access all the way down to the basic unified field from which everything derives, supposedly, where we're all connected as one. And from here, the unified field sort of goes through whatever filtering shell process and becomes part of our world. You can see these ideas of entering new spaces mystically through sacred geometry or sacred architecture. In the Orthodox Church, even, there's an element of this, right? When you enter an Orthodox Church, there is a mystical element. That's why the icons that you see, like on the iconostasis or just various icons around the church, they don't quite look human, right? Like, they're not realistic. They're not sexy Creed Jesus. They're kind of something else. They're kind of more, and the people that paint those, it's not an arbitrary thing. Like, those people are spiritually prepared to create that art. Now, the point of a And then also the church is laid out typically like a cross, and you face east. Like, there's a whole aspect of the sacred architecture of it. And when you're in the church during the liturgy, the idea is that with the priest has the censer and there's incense, and you sort of are supposed to be in a different realm in a way, right? Like, it's not of this world. Like, that's the whole shtick of Orthodoxy. Well, I shouldn't say the whole thing, but that's the part of it that I am drawn to, is it's not a rock band church with the monster trucks or whatever. It's not like that, right? It's about entering a different realm. In fact, when you cross the narthex into the nave, into the main part of the church, you cross yourself because you're kind of entering a sacred space. But the point of the portal is to escape from this material realm. Sounds very Gnostic. Sounds very, very Saturnian. Sorry, I'm pointing aggressively if you're watching the video, and I'm breaking all my microphone stands. But the point of the portal is to escape from this realm and enter into a new one. Some would say this is a scary process. Some would say it's very liberating. Either way, it is exciting. So, which I think you could find that experience with psychedelics, right? It's all about set and setting and the intention. And if you go in scared, I mean, so I've heard, if you go in scared, you might have a scary, terrifying experience. But if you go in positively with a focus on love and light and all that woo-woo stuff, then you're more apt to have a positive experience. But you see why the concept of a portal is depicted so much in pop culture and in fiction. Especially in those horny books. You ladies be reading them horny books. There's always portals and, you know. And those fantasy nerds, they love this kind of thing, right? Because it's part of the escapism of a fantasy novel. That's why the fantasy books have hundreds of pages talking about different weird terms, and everyone's got weird names, and everyone's magical and all that stuff, right? It's not supposed to be of this world. It's supposed to be another realm. And oftentimes there are portals. I believe, because I read most of Akhtar, and I believe there's like a portal under the mountain or something, from what I remember. And in fact, if you look at Universal Studios in Florida, they've got the Epic Universe, right? Which is five different realms. One of them is the Celestial Realm. That's for the fantasy nerds. Then they've got the Dark Universe. That's for the horror nerds. That's me. I'm very excited to go see this thing. When? I don't know. But I'm very excited. I like that old school Frankenstein and Dracula. Oh, baby. But anyway, when you enter into each of these new worlds, supposedly there's a portal that crosses you over, because that's all part of the experience, right? You're entering into a new world. Now, when it comes to the occult, they believe that through a variety of processes, one can cross the veil, cross the portal, and make contact with a higher plane of existence, or make contact with higher ascended entities, God, the devil, go with the Bobs, whoever. Or maybe they're a chaos magician and it's just good old-fashioned Mickey Mouse or Scooby-Doo. We don't know. And if you read, there is a book that I have. I know I read the comments on the Patreon. People like to know books and resources. So I have this book called The Complete Book of Spells, Ceremonies, and Magic by Gonzalez Whippler. And this was a book I bought because this was part of my Hocus Pocus film analysis. If you listen to that, if you haven't listened to that one, boy, you're missing out. I think it was in 2021 I did it, and I unpacked adrenochrome and satanic sex magic rituals, and this is where I found the information for that show. And it's an amazing book, honestly. It's if I could memorize this whole book, you guys would think I'm a genius. You know, because there's so much good information in there. But in it, it describes like when they talk about crossing into the astral realm and stuff like that, they talk about it as a plane of being that is not a place, but a state of being. All right, so we're already walking back this idea of hey, we're going to Mars. Hey, we're going to outer space. No, no, no. We're just going into a new state of being. And the astral plane, which it actually refers to the Greek gods, because the term astral in Greek means related to a star. Because that's where all the occultism come from. It come from the ancient cultures, the Greeks, the Romans. All these pagans were worshiping multiple gods, and they thought they could really see them and experience them. And if you read Secret History of the World by Mark Booth, he explains it. He says, yeah, like they really did that. That's the belief. And it was only over through time and technology that we've restricted our consciousness that we can't experience these things. It's kind of like when you've got a dog or a baby who's talking to spirits in the corner and you're like, are they really experiencing something? Yeah. According to these people, yes. Their third eye is still open. But we can perceive this other realm, the astral plane, using our astral senses or visiting it through our astral body. And you probably heard the term clairvoyance. That is referred to as astral vision. Because some people can perceive this astral plane with their astral senses. And in the book, it talks about how there's these four doorways to the astral realm, and there's processes to unlock the doorways from Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, the Tarot, and the I Ching. And you'll notice like a lot of the occultists talk about those tools. And that's what the book says. That's how you do it. That's how you access these astral planes, these other dimensions. And it also warns you that astral projection can be dangerous. They say not to try this without a proper teacher, because the astral plane is just as dangerous to the astral body as the material world is dangerous to the material body. And when you get into the astral plane, there's demonic entities and they can possess you and all kinds of stuff, right? Now, and what's interesting is that we just got done talking about the remote viewing with Ryder Lee on the Project Stargate show, which I would argue is in a similar ballpark, maybe, right? And this book goes a lot deeper. It sets up the conversation by talking about how we all have these seven bodies. These are the levels of awareness. Three are ethereal, four are material. Therefore, there are seven planes of existence that we can sort of access. And all of these are connected with our astral body. They're all connected with a cord that goes into the astral plane, which I would assume is very similar to the silver cord of theosophy that we talked about during the Wizard of Oz shows. Now, the astral plane has this thing in it called the astral light, and this is where the Akashic records are held, supposedly. And these contain basically all the past, the present, the future. So as a magician, you could see why this would be the goal, is to access the past, present, future, like Biff and Back to the Future 2. Yeah. You want that sports almanac. You wanna lay the bets, make the monies. But some people are accessing the astral plane strictly for vibes. Marjorie Cameron, she was accessing the astral plane to have sex with Jack Parsons after he died. She was trying to make that Rosemary's Baby. How does that work? I don't know. It didn't work. That's how it works. So in terms of ritual magic, they are also familiar with this idea of accessing other realms. A magician will draw a triangle of manifestation, which will be the location from which an entity will be conjured and appear. There's two symbols involved in a magic ritual. You've got the circle within which the magician stands, and then you've got the triangle within which the demonic entity is conjured up. And the circle is where the magician will do their incantations. They will concentrate their will and send it out. And when you get into Solomonic ceremonial magic, there's a lot of focus on this stuff. And it's even mentioned in Peter Lavenda and Tom DeLonge's book, Secret Machines Gods, where he goes to this whole Gnostic rigmarole and implies that UFOs, because you see the Delta Craft UFOs, those are like the triangle-shaped ones. And Lavenda kind of suggests that, hey, maybe the triangle means it's sort of the reverse operation of a magician, meaning it's sort of manifesting itself into our realm, which I thought was pretty interesting. And you also notice the triangle manifestation is what we talk about when we refer to Jay-Z and Beyonce doing that rock diamond thing, right? Because they do the triangle. Illuminate confirmed me. I'm doing the triangle. It's the triangle manifestation to sort of channel energy through, which is why Beyonce talks about how she channels Sasha Fierce. She feels the Sasha Fierce come into her body. She's channeling a spirit through the triangle of manifestation into her body to perform. Because as you know, a lot of performers have to employ some kind of alter ego in order to perform. Now, many of the magical ceremonies, they will use invoking and banishing rituals of the pentagram, and those are meant to protect the magician as well as to dispel the spirits to get rid of them, because you're effectively opening a portal, calling the entity through, and then you say, okay, bye-bye now, and then you got to close it behind so they don't stay in our world. And this is where you get the terms invocation or evocation, two different tactics here that the magicians use. The invocation is to call down forces from the higher planes and into the magician's consciousness. And this is done through meditation, visualization, all that stuff. But the idea is that the work is done internally, inside the mind of the magician. Whereas the opposite is the evocation, and that's to call down the actual spirits and demons into the triangle of manifestation and to materialize them into our world. Crowley did this in Algeria for Coronzone. There was like this storm or something. And this is more of the conjuration practice. This is more of what you'd think about when you think about the heavy conspiracies of ritual magic. But either way, it requires opening up gates. Either way, opens up gates to the subconscious mind, opens up gates for the triangle of manifestation. And either way, it's dangerous for the magician. They can become possessed by demons. And if a magician is, you know, well-practiced, they will call out a license to depart to the spirit evoked. And they will make sure they don't leave that magical circle until the entity is gone. You'll notice, in fact, in 1999, I was doing ghost hunting with the Utah Ghost Hunter Society, and that was one of the first lessons we learned, which is insane. We would do ghost hunts and EVPs and record stuff and go to haunted places. And when we would call upon these things, we would call out and be like, hey, turn this flashlight on. Hey, what's your name? Hey, talk to me. And you would do this for however long. And then when you're going to leave, you'd be like, okay, now you don't get to leave here. You have to stay here and leave me alone, which seems kind of preposterous that we would have that kind of power. Like, oh, you're just going to ask it to, and it's going to do it. Like, that seems kind of crazy to me in hindsight, which is why I don't do it anymore. I've done a bunch of ghost hunts and had a lot of weird things happen. I did it enough to know that I believe it's happening. That's why I like watching the Ghost Adventures guys, because they get some wild stuff. Could it be rigged? Sure. But I've witnessed and experienced, I've seen orbs with my own eyeball. I had paranormal activity in the home after we were messing around with stuff. I've communicated with spirits of people that passed on in other people's families. I didn't know their names before, and they said their name clearly. I mean, crazy stuff. But the also you'll Matt when talking about magic circles, and at the end of Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut in the toy store, there's a game called the Magic Circle. Anyway, all these portals are basically different ways of being initiated into a new state of being. Because the initiate, after completing the ritual, will become transformed or changed or evolved in some way, enlightened. And sometimes they'll believe that they accessed the gnosis, the secret wisdom, and that enlightenment is makes them better. Better than you and I and all the other mouth breathers out there. You know, and sometimes they think it's to the point of apotheosis where they are becoming gods. Or this is part of their alchemical process that starts out with the black sun or the negredo. It's the darkness before the light. Kind of like how Freemasons wear the hoodwink to cover their eyes. That whole thing. But when you get into this, you find out that oftentimes there is a barrier before these people can become these ascended masters. The guardian of the veil. Aleister Crowley had the Corone Zone, right? And if an initiate wanted to cross the veil and pass the guardian and become a master of the temple, they had to be prepared. They had to have full destruction of the ego. Or they had to have proper keys, because there's keys involved, like the 72 names of God in Kabbalah. Which, you know, Ariana Grande's, she has tattooed on her finger, the 72 names of God. Isn't that the worst? That's easily the worst impression I do is Ariana Grande. And I stopped doing it, and then people on Patreon asked me to do it again. I said, oh, dear. Okay. So, shout out to the people that care. It's terrible. And also, if you if you're on the free feed, do you ever hear the WWF Hulk Hogan Macho Man ad I do? I didn't do those voices. Those are actually really well done. I am not that good. Anyways, little Ariana Grande has the 72 names of God tattooed on her finger because she's wearing that red string Kabbalah bracelet like Tucker Kabbalah Carlson. And someone in my family saw Tucker in the airport. I said, gross. Don't make me throw up. And he was like, oh, no, he was cool. I was like, I bet he was cool. No, I think most of those people, even like the hardliners and the blowhards, I bet in real life most of these people are all right. You know what I mean? I think, and this goes back to that idea of channeling entities to perform, because I kind of understand what that feels like. Because I have to, in a way, put on my alter ego, which isn't a far stretch from who I am, but I'm much more lively on the show and stuff and when I do appearances, because I'm a pretty boring, quiet dude. I don't know if I'm introverted necessarily, but I don't like to share my opinion as much. If people know me, be like, oh, he's a pretty quiet guy. So in a way, I gotta become something that I'm not. Because you guys don't want to sit here and if you go back and listen to the first episodes I did, you'll know what I'm talking about. Go back to 2014 and you'll say, holy low T Isaac, who is this guy? Because I'm trying to provide a service and I try to keep it entertaining. Now, oh yeah, we're talking about the keys to cross. And then you've got secret words. So only the initiated can cross. We talked about this with the Mormon endowment ceremony stuff, how they give you a secret name. And a secret handshake, because when you meet, I don't know, God, when you die, you got to give him a secret handshake. Seems crazy. Very Freemasonic. And you see the keys represented in The Matrix, which is a sort of Gnostic tale of apotheosis, with the keymaker who unlocks the doors, right? So Neo can cross the threshold. He can cross the portal into the mainframe via the doors. Because the whole idea is that there's a veil that blocks the unworthy, because what's on the other side of that veil of the portal is God. It's kind of like the Tower of Babel. man was trying to build this technology to get close to God so that every mouth breather could just walk on up there. But God was like, hell no, you about to get smited, fool. And they tore it down. They weren't ready. Then we have portals as symbols in terms of symbolism. Carl Jung, you know, he's talking about this. Talking about the importance of symbolism. Working on the subconscious level like a symbol. Because there's all these psychological internal processes that happen. And Edward Bernays, Freud's nephew, he infamously used a lot of these ideas for corporate propaganda. So it works, right? That's how he got us to start buying diamond rings. That's how he got us to make bacon and eggs for breakfast. That's how he got women to smoke with the torches of freedom propaganda. So don't tell me it doesn't work. All this stuff works. They know it. They don't want you to understand it. They want you to think it's just woo-woo paranormal activity. But Jung viewed portals as thresholds to accessing the subconscious mind, right? He was more of the, I would argue, the occult internal process variety. Archetypally, it was the idea of approaching one's own shadow, doing the shadow work. The dweller on the threshold, which is Caron's own, according to Crowley. And if that was a subject we went deep into at the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge series at the season 2 wrap-up show, we talked about this dweller on the threshold stuff. Because I think it shows up in Twin Peaks season 2, I think episode 15 or 16. Hawk talks about the dweller on the threshold. And all of that is based on real stuff. And the whole idea for Jung was that a person can confront their own shadow, and through this process, they can become transformed. Because it's actually a confrontation between the person's ego or the conscious mind against the personal unconscious, the subconscious mind. Because in the Jungian model, you've got the ego, which is the conscious mind, you've got the personal unconscious, which is the subconscious, and then you've got the collective unconscious, which is the group sort of archetypal mind, right? And his whole jam was that the unconscious forces are always influencing the conscious forces, the ego. So any kind of personal memories or traumas or relationships, repressed memories, whether it be unconscious, personal unconscious, or whether it be the collective unconscious of the group, of the world history, the what do you call it? The reservoir of human experiences where you would find the archetypes. This gets into Joseph Campbell's hero's journey with the hermit who guides mankind, the goddess, the trickster, the anima, animus, feminine, masculine. Like, these are all part of the reservoir or the unified field, right? These are all kind of similar terms. And it's interesting because it kind of gives credence to all these concepts because you have multiple people that put a lot of thought into these things and they kind of came up with the same answers, just in different terms. So this is why a lot of people, they do shadow work or dream work, because they're analyzing the personal unconscious. They're trying to unpack what's going on in the unconscious mind that's affecting me on the conscious level. So Jung would say there's a portal to dive deeper into the shadow. And we talked about this with the Kobe Bryant books. Go back to, I believe, February of 2020. Yeah, right before the pandemic. I did a few shows on Kobe Bryant because I read his books that he wrote about he wrote children's books. And whew, you want to talk about Illuminate Confirm? My goodness. Those Kobe Bryant shows are fire. Should I put links in the show notes, Isaac? I mean, if I was a good host, I would. What did I talk about? I talk about Wizard of Oz. I talk about Kobe Bryant. What did I talk about? The Matrix? I don't know. I'll link some stuff if you want more. If you're new, you got a lot of catching up to do. You're looking at about 700 episodes, okay? So, Carl Jung would suggest that the unconscious could guide one's conscious mind towards the threshold, towards the portal between the known and unknown. And he called this a ritualized transformation process in order to confront the repressed shadow, which is hidden. I know it's a lot, right? A lot of nerd talk. But it's basically a process called individuation. And I talked about this at a very personal level in The Dark Path, in my book, The Dark Path, because it's a journey that therapy took me on of understanding and unpacking memories and histories and repressed ideas and seeing how it affects you on a conscious level. It's kind of like Go with the Bobs. It's kind of a reconciliation of opposing forces in a way, kind of. But it takes strength to do this. It takes courage to do this. That's why nobody wants to go to therapy. You know, if you're out there, you're either you're a husband or your wife's been like, hey, go to therapy. Or you're a wife who's like, man, I've been begging my husband to go to therapy. Trust me, I understand. It's very difficult. Me and my wife have been on that journey. And, you know, it ain't no secret. I don't like therapy. I told my therapist once, I said, no offense, I love you. You changed my whole life. Because I've been going to him for, I don't even know how many years, 10 years, 12 years. I said, hey, bro, no offense. You changed my life. I love you for it. But I hate coming in here. Every time I hate coming in here, I get anxiety. On the day before, I'm like, man, I hope he cancels. I mean, it's like going to church. I'd never want to go. But when I go, I feel great when I do it. What the hell is that? It's because it's work. Because you're constantly staring at the shadow. You're constantly digging into the unconscious and unpacking all this repressed memories. And to confront all these things, it's kind of like going on a hero's journey in terms of pop culture. That's why we like to watch the people in the movies do it instead of having us do it. There's always this call to action, you know, some kind of war, some kind of life or death scenario, the separation from the real world where they actually go on the journey, and then they always descent, right? They descent towards the portal, towards the threshold, towards the shadow, where they confront the enemy, the shadow, and then they return as the king. It's the return of the king. It's that descent towards, you know, Scaryville. And that's where you find the portal. That's where the gateway is. And it's depicted in movies as caves or tunnels or mirrors or rabbit holes. It's like whatever takes the character on that hero's journey. And that's the sort of symbolism of a portal. That's Carl Jung, how he would describe it. It's accessing the internal shadow. And there's various tools for all of this because I know you're thinking, man, there's a lot of woo-woo talk, not a lot of action here. How do you do it? I want to go into a portal. Well, I don't know that it works or not. I don't know exactly how the mechanics of it work, but in fact, I think oftentimes a lot of this stuff is just strong imaginations, drug hallucinations. But I do believe in some level of genuine paranormal activity. You know? I think it's like how people are talking to AI and they think they're gods. I think these are people that are susceptible to this kind of magical thinking to a degree that's too much. But it's all about working with energy, all of this stuff. And whether it's a ritual or if you're at a location where there's a lot of heightened emotions left behind, leaving an imprint in the environment, a location where you might get a lot of various energies and emotions like a graveyard or a hospital or a church or maybe some kind of place where they did satanic human sacrifices or animal sacrifices. Like all those are charged up, right? So that's like one of the environments in which you would do it. Another tool is for divination, for scrying. And this is the idea that one will stare into a scrying object to see images, to get sort of hallucinations from the other side through the portal. It's like looking through a portal. And the practices of divination, they're specifically condemned in the Bible, by the way, in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you know. So is it as evil as eating shellfish? I don't know, maybe. But that's like the Christian version. If you talk to a Christian priest, they'd say, hey, man, you shouldn't be doing none of this stuff. Naughty boy. So anyways, for scrying, gypsies will use crystal balls. Nostradamus, he scried by putting his face near a crystal bowl that was filled with water. John Dee used a black obsidian mirror to gaze into, which you can find in, there is a show called The House of Hammer on Amazon. It's from like the 70s, and they have an episode called Guardians of the Abyss that's really cool, and they have a whole episode about obsidian scrying mirror used in rituals. Goes back to John Dee. Joseph Smith from the Mormons, he used seer stones. Those were, he took a hat and he put these rocks in it, the Urim and the Thummim, to gaze into. He was scrying into these stones. And the Mormons believe the Joseph Smith story because if you ask a Mormon, you'd say, hey, I thought the Bible said you shouldn't be doing that. Why is your supreme leader messing around with this stuff? And they'd say, well, it's divinely inspired. God told him to do it. Then you got sigils. Sigils are basically symbols loaded with powers and intentions. And the whole idea is it accesses the subconscious mind. You will, the way I've heard it described is you would, if I wanted to, what do I want to manifest? Happiness. I would write the word happiness, remove the vowels because it's a sort of Kabbalistic thing. So then you're left with just those letters HPP and SS. And you would sort of scramble up those letters in a way that no one could read them. And that would be your sigil. And if you're Johnny Depp, you'd get that tattooed on you. And the idea is that you would look at that and that accesses the subconscious mind and you understand the meaning of that sigil and it's a reminder. Then you've got magic rituals, you've got psychedelic trips, right? And again, this is about set and setting. That's why the Church of Satan, they use all that dark, spooky imagery. It's about creating a mood intended to flood the subconscious and, you know, just make it feel extra spooky. Extra spooky. So they're doing little ritual ceremonies where they're banging out witches and pretending they're the devil. They don't actually worship the devil in the Church of Satan. They're just making it spooky. They're creating an environment, right? And the same goes for psychedelics. It's whatever you prep the mind for, it can achieve by accessing these other realms. And that's the whole idea of a portal. And you can see another idea is the bathtub. The bathtubs are portals meant for the passage of the goddess. Talked about this ad nauseum on the show. I feel like every episode I bring it up. The Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina bathtub passages of the goddess. Those were blood sacrifice rituals, allegedly. They were, probably. Then you've got the bathtub of the Kabbalah mikveh. You can see it in a Kenneth Grant movie. I think it's Lucifer Rising. Even in Christian faith, you've got the baptism that happens in the water, right? This is about connecting to higher powers of God. You also see mirrors, windows, bathtubs. Those are all portals in terms of what? Pop culture, the occult, both. Michael Jackson, he covered up his mirrors in his home. Right? And of course, we're talking about Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass. They believe that mirrors are portals and people could come through. I believe when I interviewed Dr. Kimberly McGeorge years ago, we were talking about this idea presented by, what was his name? The guy who talks about how you go to these cloning centers at night when you're in REM sleep. I believe that they said that that's how they would come into your home is through the mirrors, and they would come and snatch you up. Aleister Crowley, he was, of course, a master in the occult ways of magic. He had formulated rituals and techniques for occultists to pursue their great work, and you would do this by opening up portals, whether that was for entities to come through or for the person to access the inner shadow, the subconscious. And he was always advocating for one to contact their holy guardian angel through ritual magic. All right. And I saw a comment on the Spotify, I believe it was, and someone corrected me. There was a video, and I didn't make the video, but it depicted Crowley when I was discussing Lamb, and Lamb is a different entity. Lamb is the, through the Amalantra workings of 1918, he successfully channeled this gray alien, supposedly, and drew it in the preface to Helena commentary on Helena Blavatsky's book later. But he was always about trying to make contact with this holy guardian angel. It's kind of like a higher self. It's different from the self. It's not the same. It's a totally different entity. And his was AWAS. And he would do these rituals intended to create space with which a contact could be made with this astral realm. And this is why you see the occult practices of the New Age being utilized. This is what they used to be utilized for. Meditation and yoga. Yoga means to yoke, means to connect to unionize with the entities. And sex magic. These are all, and tantra. Like, these are all sort of like modern day New Age things that people are just into, right? But the reality is the history of this is about making contact with entities. And the idea is that they open up the mind, they unlock the chakras in a way that can be used to enter into these other spaces, altering the states of consciousness to access deeper into the subconscious mind to find the, you know, the unified field, the shadow, the source of these repressed traumas and such. And of course, Crowley talked about Caron's Own in his book Confessions, where he talks about how he became a master of the temple, traversing this liminal space called the Abyss, effectively going through that portal. He said the name of the dweller in the Abyss is Caron's Own, but he is not really an individual. The Abyss is empty of being. It is filled with all possible forms. Yada, yada, yada. And then finally, in Kabbalah, there are 22 paths that the initiate can take to understand the various aspects of reality and ascend up that tree of life towards the Godhead, towards the Keter. They also call it the 50 gates of understanding. But one path the initiate could take is through the portal of Deoth, the same process that Crowley discusses as the Abyss. And this is kind of like the Star Wars tale. Luke goes on his hero's journey, becomes changed after traumatically finding out that Darth Vader is his father. And now his journey becomes an internal struggle of sorts. And this takes us to the final section of the show, the pop culture portals, because, I mean, that's what we're really into here, right? I've got a bunch of examples here so that you can take these examples with you so the next time you watch this movie, you can say, oh, okay, I see what he's talking about, right? Alice in Wonderland, one of my favorites, goes, and in fact, I blame part of my mental state on my babysitters. When I was young, we had these neighbors across the street, and they would come over, and they would bring this VHS of Alice in Wonderland, and I was obsessed with this movie. I was like, you have to bring that over every time. Absolutely loved it. In fact, I got an Alice in Wonderland tattoo. But in the story, the whole idea is that she gets her call to action, and she tumbles down the rabbit hole. She goes underground to be initiated. She's going into the subconscious. She crosses through that portal. And in the sequel, or the second book, I should say, she goes through the looking glass. She goes through the mirror to access the same realm. Then you've got the movie Donnie Darko, which I've also done a show about. Didn't I do a show about Donnie Darko? Pretty sure I did. I'm just going to update my notes. If I did, I'll put a link in the show notes, because that was a really cool movie. I'm actually a big, what's that guy's name? Jake Gyllenhaal fan. He has, his character has a mental breakdown, and that breakdown enables his access to these altered dimensions, right? This is kind of like the psychedelics or whatever. And it seems like the dweller, the guardian of the threshold, the Caron Zone, could be the bunny, the big bunny. Then you've got The Matrix, of course, a classic. Neo gets jacked into the real world. But first, you'll notice he puts his little fingies through that gelatinous mirror, right? Remember that scene? And his ego death is literal. Remember, because Agent Smith has this whole conversation with him. He says, there's Mr. Anderson and there's Neo. there's only a future for one of these. You have to choose. And of course, he chooses Neo. Then you've got The Abyss. That's a movie where, plot spoiler coming here, there's an underwater drilling operation, and they unlock a portal, a threshold, into another realm where they make contact with these higher enlightened ascended aliens. Then you've got Holy Mountain, which is Hodorowski's occult initiation for the viewer. Takes the viewer on an alchemical journey, kind of like 2001 A Space Odyssey. Because in the movie, you are guided by the alchemist. That's the hermit in a way of the tarot. And it culminates with the initiates ascending the Holy Mountain, and they burn up the ego, full destruction of the ego. And they, plot spoiler, they break the fourth wall at the end and let the viewer know, like, hey, you've just been initiated. Illuminate, confirm you. Then you've got Annihilation, another great movie. My goodness. I just watched this the other day. Natalie Portman's character goes into the Shimmer, this jungle of chaos, full of alien entity, goo. And she ends up pulling elements of the subconscious mind into this world. Like, each person has this individual experience in the Shimmer. It's almost like it unlocks the shadow realm for each character. And she ends up going to the lighthouse where she confronts her literal shadow. An insane movie. If you've never seen Annihilation, are you in for a treat? Then you've got Stargate. This is kind of one of those more, this is probably the most obvious example out of all of them. There's a giant ring that the military uncovers with these Enochian-style magical sigils all around it. And inside the ring is a water thing, just like the Neo mirror, right? And it's a portal that takes them to the Egyptian magicians. The Egyptian magicians, the aliens. And that water is the boundary within the ring. And, you know, you have a bit of that sort of cleansing, baptism, flood, bathtub, unconscious archetype there. And then, they had a Stargate Atlantis, right? The Atlantis-type show. It's this archetypal society of high technology, giant pagan alien gods, and all that stuff. I've never seen the TV show. But apparently it talks about multiple Stargates found throughout the world in the Middle East and Iraq and Mesopotamia and all those places. Which a lot of people argued was the real reason we went into Iraq after 9/11. Allegedly. Then you got the character Doctor Strange in the movies creates and opens portal. I did a movie review on both 1 and 2. He creates and opens portals through magical sigils, and of course, again, Enochian language script all around the circle, the portal, and allows him to, and look, I understand when I say the word portal, I have a hard time with it. It's a weird word to me. I blame this on my tonsillectomy guy. Because after we remove my tonsils, I had a hard time saying the word pool and apparently portal. Someone started GoFundMe for me, I guess. Anyway, so he time travels and he accesses other worlds through these portals that he makes. He can transcend the space-time of our world through these occult practices. He's a talismans and the ring. And it's all, he's like the most occulted character. Then you've got the Chronicle of Narnia series, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And the wardrobe is the portal that takes you to Narnia. There's a show called Doctor Who. I've never seen it. And it has a thing called the TARDIS. It's the police phone box or whatever it is. That's apparently a portal. Then you got the movie Coraline, which I loved. I loved Coraline. I thought that was a great movie. She goes through this little doorway and into this small tunnel, and she goes into this weird parallel-type world that they call the Other World. Great movie, packed with tons of like little hidden symbols. I should do an analysis on it someday. There's a lady on TikTok who, I mean, she's an expert on it. I should just have her get on here and explain it. Then you've got everyone's favorite, little Harry Potter. He crosses the threshold going through the portal because he was in the muggle world and the mundane. And he goes into the wizard world by going through a portal at the platform 9 3/4 at the King's Cross Station. And in Harry Potter's journey, which I talked about on this podcast years ago, as well as in my book, Conspiracy Theories in Unpopular Culture, the whole thing is about Harry Potter's initiation. And he approaches the Black Veil in the Department of Mysteries. He overcomes death and he's reborn. Apotheosis, man becomes God. It's all right there in the Harry Potter story. We're almost done. Hang in there, folks. 2001 A Space Odyssey, one of my favorites. Commander Bowman enters a Stargate. Kind of like in Interstellar when all right, when he enters the Tesseract. Same thing. He goes out to, he's drawn from the monolith draws him out towards Saturn, towards a wormhole, which I know in the movie it's Jupiter, but in the book it's Saturn. Because Saturn makes more sense in the occult aspect of being the limiting adversarial force that one initiate needs to overcome in order to cross over. But what happens is they in Interstellar or 2001, they're accessing other realms of space-time to become initiated into something greater, a higher form of consciousness. They become ascended, apotheosis, right? Same thing with Star Wars. We talked about this already. He's approached... Luke approaches his repressed unconscious, represented as Darth Vader or Daoth Vader. When he was like, oh shit, you're my dad. The hidden realm on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. Then Stranger Things, there's an upside down where it's the dark side to the real world. In Kabbalah, there's a Tree of Life, and then there's the dark side of the Tree of Life where the Klepoth are. But the lab is, in the show Stranger Things, the lab is trying to access this upside down, this dark realm. But Eleven, she's got the gift. She can just do it, right? She can cross over. And unfortunately, when she goes through the portal, where she opens that portal, the Demogorgon and these entities come through and just into Hawkins, Indiana. And finally, Twin Peaks. You know what? You guys said, are you going to mention it every episode? I might. Twin Peaks. If we talked about the Dweller on the Threshold, season 2, episode 11. There you go. It's in my notes here. Hawk warns Cooper about approaching the Black Lodge with imperfect courage because it will annihilate your soul. And that's the whole point of the Twin Peaks journey. Cooper approaching his shadow. Does he succeed? Does he individuate? Does he become the master of the temple? And he kept going on and on about choosing fear versus choosing love and being vulnerable to the darkness. And then in Twin Peaks The Return, we get a depiction of how the atomic bomb opened up a portal between worlds, and it shows us the beliefs of Kenneth Grant and Outside the Circles of Time, which we've talked about a bunch. So that is the conclusion of part one. Now, I need you to stay subscribed to the show right now. While I yammer at you, make sure you're subscribed. Hit the button, subscribe to the show. Because in part two, we're going to talk more about portals. We're going to talk about literal portals, where they are, how they're constructed, who's messing around with these things. We're going to talk more about the Jack Parsons stuff, the Babylon working rituals, Britney Spears, Travis Scott, the astral world mass satanic sacrifice being done at the portal to hell. And we're going to talk about how artificial intelligence and the Dark Enlightenment fits into all this, the CCRU and AI entities, and how when we cross the singularity, like, that's the end game. You know what I mean? So there you go. Stay subscribed to the show. If you like the show, leave a review. Leave a 5-star review. If you do, I love you in advance. Okay? That's how you help the show grow. How you really help is you send an episode to a friend. So if you got any nerd friends that like portal stuff, send them this episode. All right? Share the episode. Got to get the word out. Okay? All right. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay positive.